When I was talking about the progression from down-home blues to a more urban style, one of the things we talked about was lyrical trends. Another thing that happens about this time is a shift, not so much a shift, but an emphasis of novelty lyrics and lyrics with, you know, deep sexual innuendo. This is something that actually has a reference point to an earlier intersection of traditions back from the turn of the century into the 1920s. Now, we're all familiar with minstrelsy in the 19th century. By the late 19th century, the typical minstrel show had sort of grown, evolved into a larger vaudeville variety show kind of format, with people like Ma Rainey and her Rabbit's Foot Minstrels making some of the very early recordings of blues. Now, the kinds of blues that they were doing tended to be the blues form, as we discussed, joined with a jazz band, because jazz, remember, was developing at the same moment. So the idea of a singer backed by performers in a jazz combo, a jazz group, became sort of a paradigm of its own. As the recording industry in the 1920s started to grow, we're going to talk about this in more depth a little bit later, but as it started to grow and become solidified into a large market, one of the ways of appealing to a large black market called a race market was to have female singers in front of a jazz band singing lyrics of a very sort of body innuendo kind of style. It actually had a name called Bluebird style, because Bluebird Records was sort of the main propagator of that style. I want you to listen to Ida Cox doing a song that really exemplifies this, called Wild Women Don't Have the Blues.
I hear these women raving about their monkey men, about their fighting husbands and their no good friends. These poor women sit around all day and moan, wondering why their wandering papas don't come home. But wild women don't worry, wild women don't have the blues.
Now, another outgrowth of this minstrel tradition was something developing in the late 19th century, especially in large urban centers like New York, of black musical theater, sort of a specialized theater audience and appealing to these audiences. So a variety show format with a loosely pasted together narrative. This morphed into a cabaret style that would feature a small band, or very often a singer with a piano player, or a singer combination piano player, singing novelty lyrics, love songs, Tin Pan Alley songs, but with a very characteristic kind of delivery, very expressive, taking lots of liberties with the melody style as it was written in sheet music. I want you to listen to this example of it by Fats Waller. This is recorded in 1941, called Your Feet's Too Big.
Say, up in Harlem, at a table for two, there were four of us, me, your big feet, and you. From your ankle up, I'll say you sure are sweet. From that down, there's just too much feet. Yes, your feet's too big. Don't want you cause your feet's too big. Can't use you cause your feet's too big. I really hate you cause your feet's too big. Yeah.
Now, in the 1940s, this was starting to take on sort of a new life. So people like Louis Jordan started doing songs that were essentially a jazz band again, fronted by a singer, in this case Jordan himself, doing songs that that were either sexually charged or novelty kind of funny sorts of lyrics. Choo Choo Chaboogie is a great example of this. Caledonia, Saturday Night Fish Fry. Female singers like Ruth Brown, for example, or Laverne Baker, started doing songs that were, again, kind of a combination of this fun lyrical theme, but with a very strong sexual charge underneath it. So, talking about relationships in much the same way that classic blues artists would have done. This song by Ruth Brown, 1953, Mama, He Treats Your Daughter Mean. There's two things really to hear here. The first is the lyrical theme itself, but the second thing is her delivery of that theme. It's not a matter of singing the melody. Mama, he treats your daughter mean.
Mama, he treats me badly. Makes me love him madly. Mama, he takes my money. Makes me call him honey. Mama, he can't be trusted. Makes me so.
Do it. She's singing, Mama, she treats your daughter mean, right? So it's not a matter of the melody as it was originally written. It's much more playful. It's much more expressive. It's much more personalized. Here are another example. I'm going to play you two very short clips. The first is K-Star doing What a Difference a Day Made. Has two names, What a Difference a Day Made and What a Difference a Day Makes. It's been published under both names. Listen to the way K-Star sings the melody fairly straight without too much added stuff.
What a difference a day made, 24 little hours.
Here's Dinah Washington, 1959, singing the same moment, or a parallel moment in that song. Yes, it's slower. Yes, it's more contemplative. Yes, in that way it becomes more romantic and more personally expressive. But that's part of what's enabling her to do what she does best, which is to play with the timbre, to make it personal, to make it expressive. And by doing that and not adhering to the melody, doing a much more personalized, playful version of it, make it all the more powerful.
What a difference a day made. 24 little hours. What the sun and the flowers.
So we've heard that this music comes out of a historical trend that's much earlier. Rhythm and blues is not a self-contained style that only happens in the late 1940s and into the 1950s. It's part of a continuing development, social, musical, cultural. We're going to talk about the social aspects of it and the industry aspects of it next.